Blog Talk Radio.
I love it, fellas.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay, we get it. Fellas, y'all ready?
New York, what's happening?
Yes, sir, let's go.
Los Angeles, what's happening?
Ames, Iowa, where you at?
Tokyo, what y'all doing?
Tokyo, it's probably sleeping, Rob. That's what they do.
London, it's time to wake up.
Oh, my God. This cat right here. Get your boy, JQ. No, it's always.
Hey, that's
always
you.
Awesome.
That's you.
Honolulu, it's happy hour.
Yeah, he wild. That's the same dude that you just is hollering out area codes. Like, that's Charleston, South Carolina. Like, how do you know that? Like,
it is
Oh, man.
America, see, we injected a little something. Got a little NFL, free agency frenzy, so we got trying to get a little lathered up ourselves. So let's get this party started again on this Wednesday, March the 14th. Hey, guys, happy Pi Day, by the way, if you didn't know. That's a little something as well, so I've been getting a lot of that, too. So
can we talk about the other
we're
day?
Ready to talk to sports.
Happy Pi Day?
Yeah, it's called Pi Day. Yeah,
3.14.
Yep, there it is.
Oh,
there it
gotcha,
is. Taking
gotcha,
back
gotcha.
A little math nation. Yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rob, it's all good. So we're having fun. I'm just messing with you, as always. So, again, let's get ready to talk some sports. Rob's wilding, but I love the energy. So let's kick it off, gentlemen. And Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, man, I'm good. I'm just trying to stay woke.
Stay woke.
trying to stay woke, man. And are we going to talk about the other day? This is Sports After Dark. There's another meaning to the 3-14 day that's a little rated R. I don't know if we can talk about that. I won't bring it up until after the midnight hour.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that once everyone goes to sleep, and then it's all good. And hey, Rob, hey, your boy
Honeybagger.
Don't go to
sleep on our show, though.
Hey, Rob, your boy Honeybagger got cut, too, man. So no one messes with the Honeybagger, man. So we'll see how that plays out, too. So how you feeling, Rob?
Yeah, interesting. He didn't want to take a pay cut, so Arizona told him to bounce.
Mm-hmm. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, how you doing, bro? How you doing, Rob? What's going on, man? You ready?
Doing great, man. Watching a little preliminary madness. Hadn't quite got to the full-blown madness, but we got a tie game. Syracuse, Arizona State, 52-all.
This game has been hot trash.
Yeah, it's been interesting, and we'll talk about that too. We've got our TVs on, we're watching stuff in the background. Before we get started here, a lot of rest in peace to Steve Hawking, which is a little crazy, and also rest in peace to Craig Mack, man. As much as I have always played a little flavor in the ear, man, and that whole album, When God Comes, and little underrated rapper, man, that kind of started the whole Bad Boy epidemic, man. It's kind of sad to hear that too, man.
Yep.
So anyway, I know sports kind of cross-sex life, everything like that too, so just... interesting as well. But we're going to get this party started. We got a lot of things to talk about. Rob's mock draft 5-point, 6-point, 7-point, 10-point, whatever it is. We're going to jump into that too. So let's get this party started here. And always fill out the numbers if you want to reach out to your boys. 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also follow us, guys, on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports. Or Talking Sports for the 12th man, you will find us as well. All right, let's get this percolator talking, guys. We're going to kind of kick it off with some NBA stuff. And just a quick recap of that, because there's a lot of things to talk about tonight. So let's start off with the Raptors at the Pacers. I'm going to let you kick that. Raptors at the Pacers, and I'll let you kick that one off, Rob. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I like this Raptors team, man. I know JQ hasn't agreed with me yet. But I like the way that Raptors team is playing. I mean, they're deep.
A bitch, man.
Me, it just seems to me that there's something different about them than what we've seen the last couple of years. They have the size. They're deep in the backcourt as well. DeMar DeRozan is taking over games. And obviously Indiana is better than what we thought they would be going into the season. Oladipo, obviously, Miles Turner has turned out to be a nice combination. But this Raptor team, to me, looks like the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah, I was gonna talk about the basketball game. My bad. I mean, right now, but the thing about it is, when I said it every time, I said they're a really good regular season team, and they're playing out of their minds right now. They're 50-17 or something crazy like that. I just hold judgment on them until the playoffs because I've seen them flame out here in the past couple of years, and you know that's gonna stay with them until they can correct that, but they can't correct that until the playoffs start. So they're caught in the catch 22, but I give them a ton of credit. They're playing really good ball right now. There's no doubt about it.
You'd rather them be playing Hakko right now.
This is the year for them, boy. LeBron James not having a really good squad. This is the year for them to take it. This is their best opportunity.
If not now, when?
Yep. And that's the thing, too. This is like you talked about, too. And I get JQ, too. You're kind of like, hey, you know, kind of I want to wait back and see. But, you know, like I said, it's good to have just something about having a lot of confidence and kind of knowing your role. And that team, they kind of look like they're on a mission, man. So, again, still, they do have to prove it to us. But right now, this is how you do it, man. You kind of go into playoffs very, very hot. So we'll keep an eye on them. The next one, talk about the Hornets and my Lonely Hawks. Go ahead on that. JQ, I'll let you talk about that, man.
I guess my question is why?
Why, Rob? What's going on, bro?
It's a tanking game.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, I mean pretty
it's
much.
It's the NBA lottery update.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, I got you. I don't have a ton to say to them. Outside of the fact that, you know, me and probably a good number of people like you guys as well that watch the NBA just dumbfounded with how bad the Hornets are record-wise, given the individual players they have on their team. You expected more out of them. I didn't think they would be a top four seed, but to not make the playoffs with, you know, Kemba Walker and Batum and Kim Vigors, I just didn't see that coming. I really didn't. I thought they would push for the playoffs in the East, but you never know. You got to get out there and play the game. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to get bad enough record-wise to really get to take advantage of it, so to speak, to get a high draft pick, but Michael Jordan and them. Come on, bro. You got to do better.
Rob.
I mean, when you look at that Charlotte team, it's just, to me, it's still surprising that they're somewhat underachieving when you look at the roster. Kemba Walker, Dwight Howard, Michael Kidd, Gilchrist, still, you know, very underachieving. And I think for the most part now, it looks like Detroit and Charlotte is officially fading out of the playoff race. And so I think it's safe to say that both of those teams will be in the lottery. And I think we kind of know who the eight teams are going to be in the Eastern Conference right now. It's just a matter of seeding. Western Conference, that's a whole other story. You got 10 teams. Well, we know Houston and Golden State is going to be there. But there's another eight teams competing for six spots.
Yeah, it's wild. That we're nothing that we didn't know already. I think we were surprised by a couple of teams, but the Jazz, for one, still being able to be in the mix in Denver with that young squad making a run at it. But we knew that Western Conference was loaded, so I'm not overly surprised if that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, Utah has just been on a flat-out roll. I mean, you lose Gordon Haywood, and you think, at least I thought anyway, they would have a drop-off this year. And, I mean, you look at the kid Donovan Mitchell playing outstanding, Joe Ingles, has been outstanding. Getting Rudy Gobert back has been
a
tremendous lift for them, too. So, I mean, it's
Rubio.
I mean, they've been phenomenal. They've been phenomenal.
Rubio
too. Favors. Ricky Rubio. Yeah, that team has been playing outstanding.
Sometimes, too, that's weird how, you know, the addition by subtraction works out kind of interesting, too, because – as you said, Rob, everyone was probably thinking, oh, you know, you lose such a key piece in Hayworth, and they weren't crying like, hey, we got a pretty good squad as it is. So they just kept plugging in, and obviously, you know, I'm sure they didn't expect Donovan Mitchell to play as well as he did, but man, just a great way for him to take the mantle, just kind of like to hold that team. So, yeah, I like the future.
What about
you
the Clippers?
If you're the, yeah.
Clippers
we
was
talk
surprised.
About
Detroit.
Yeah,
they got better since Blake Griffin.
Yeah, right. That's my point. Your his point about addition by subtraction. This looks like it's working out there in L.A. for the other team as well, because Detroit came out like gangbusters when he got there with Drummond. Now they're fading, and the Clippers, I don't know how. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is playing phenomenal, but in that Western Conference, still, you know, giving themselves a shot. I didn't see that coming at all, and I definitely didn't see it once they traded Blake Griffin.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you guys realize right now, if the season ended today, the Spurs will be out of the playoffs? That is
That's
unreal.
Crazy. That's crazy.
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, you know. So, you know, can the Spurs turn the season around, if you will? I know they kind of had an interesting win over not a, the best team in Orlando. But what's happened with the Spurs? It seems like there's a little chink in the armor of Popovich, but I just don't know if, like, you know, just to, as far as what's happening, you know, as far as with Kawhi and everything like that, too, but – what's happening with the Spurs, Rob? What would you say about that, sir?
Well, I think it starts right there with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, when you got a guy who is a MVP candidate here in the last few years and you take him off your team, I mean, it's a big blow to them as an organization, especially in the loaded Western Conference. I mean, right now they're 38-30, 8 games above 500, and they're sitting at the 9th spot in the Western Conference. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, they need a healthy Kawhi Leonard if they're going to turn this around. Otherwise, they are definitely in danger of missing the playoffs. There's no ifs and ands or buts about it.
Yeah, hold on. Before you talk about that, too, and JQ, hold that thought, too. We've always known that the Spurs always have, like, some player you never heard of out of nowhere. That's always been their calling card. Like, man, who's this guy? They always get players to get into that system. That's why I'm a little surprised. Yes, they have some really dynamic players, but they've also been able to kind of get by, you know, just, you know, average players and, you know, that kind of play the system, like a Boris Diaw and just different players. That's what's kind of surprising for me, because they've always been able to overcome this. So that's why I'm like, there's something else that's really happening too. So that's what I would say that too, but keep going on. I didn't mean to cut you off, Rob. I just wanted to add that little side note.
Yeah, they've always had great role players, but they've always had the two or three guys that's kind of like stars, too.
Yeah.
I mean, when you had the Tim Duncans, you had Tony Parker in his prime, you had Manu Ginobili in his prime, or was David Robinson and Tim Duncan. I mean, you remember the year when Tim Duncan got hurt for the playoffs. I mean, they were bouncing the first round. So you still have to have that star element, especially in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, right now, not having Kawhi Leonard is a big blow. LaMarcus Aldridge just can't do it by himself anymore. And I still don't
think
he's the same player as what he was 2-3 years ago. And, I mean, yeah, like I said, Kawhi Leonard was a top five player in the league, and he was getting it done on both ends of the floor for you as well. And, I mean, that's just a huge blow to the Spurs. And, I mean, if they can't get him back here in April – like I said, they're in real danger of missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say with Aldridge, I would nitpick that. I would think that Aldridge would never could be a league guy. He thinks he can be a league guy, but he's only best to be served as a 2 or 3. But he's got the mentality where he won't take that. And that's going to be his downfall, so he figures that out. That's just me personally. But I agree, and I think that's going to have to be here this week or shortly thereafter. I don't know if they can go all the way into April, because you got to get your legs back. I mean, you can only do too much underwater running and getting on the bike. Playing the game is totally different. And when you got a leg injury, it takes time to get that rhythm back. They just are in a loaded Western Conference where it's hard. But, you know, if anybody can do it, Pop can try to find a way to get them in there. But even if they get in as the 8th or 7th seed, I mean, they're looking at Golden State and Houston in the first round. So, yeah, they might make the playoffs, but it'll be a short stay.
There it is. It will be. Let's calm a couple things here. We got to talk about LeBron James. Would it be smart to sign with the Spurs? He's talking about he's getting fine like wine, getting better with age. And are your thoughts about that too? So what do you think about that, JQ?
I mean, it's just going to depend on, you know, he could go to a good 3 or 4 teams, I think, right now, and still be in play for, you know, the championship. And I know you still have Golden State. I say in play, not the favorite, but in play. You know, I think Houston still, you know, will try to find a way. I think, you know, if Kawhi came back 100% and they found a way with him, Kawhi, but will Aldridge play the third fiddle, because that's where he would be, or will he sulk? You know, that's my worry about going to San Antonio. I don't think the Lakers give him that, you know, as much as I would love it, don't give him that enough of a foundation unless somebody comes with him. to make it work. He could stay in Cleveland with that young squad. And again, me and Rob talked about Philadelphia being, to me, a real dark horse kind of candidate to stay in the East and go to a team with some young talent and kind of just redo what he's doing in Cleveland there in Philadelphia. But he is the fact that his 15th season that he's playing this well. I mean, his 15th season, and you just, you know, we take him for granted. You know, what he's able to do. You look back and say, man, he is in his 15th season. He's still playing like he's in the sixth. I mean, he's not as great defensively as he once was. You don't get those chase down blocks, but everything else, man. You know, stats he suffer. You know, he's going to score. He's going to rebound. He's going to assist. He's going to get you some steals in there. I mean, he's one that we should not take for granted, because I mean, we always think that, you know, and it's true that sometimes, you know, the best thing is still yet to come along, but I hate to take him for granted for what he's doing right now in his career. He's just playing out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yep, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing about LeBron James' career that you don't hear a lot of people talking about is he's yet to play with that, like, top-notch head coach. And, you know, Michael Jordan obviously had Phil Jackson for most of his career. You know, Kobe Bryant had Phil Jackson as well. You look at Magic Johnson, he had that Pat Riley to go along with him. LeBron James hasn't had that type of coach his whole career. And I think that's the one missing piece that I think a lot of people have failed to mention, and that could have probably even catapulted him to even further greatness. And, I mean, Eric Spoelstra might be the best coach he's ever had. I don't know if that's saying
he is. No, Eric Spoelstra is the best coach. He's getting a lot out of Miami. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, but he's not a legendary coach. He's not a Phil Jackson.
No.
He's not a Pat Riley.
No.
You know, or anything like that. Riley was his mentor, but he's still not Pat Riley. And, and that will be the only intriguing part about him going to a coach like Greg Popovich. That would probably be the first time he could be under a coach that has that kind of greatness or in that same category. You know, he has yet to be underneath that kind of coach. That being said, I think it's still his best option is to remain with a team in the Eastern Conference. It'll be easy for him to get to the finals if he can get to the right team in the East. I mean, Golden State is going to be there for some time if they're healthy with the way their roster is constructed. I don't think there's anywhere around it. I mean, if they're going to have Durant and Curry healthy on the same team, it's just going to be hard for anybody to get out of that Western Conference. So, I mean, even though it would be nice to see him with a great coach, his still best opportunity to continue to get the finals, get on the right team in the Eastern Conference.
There it is. All right. Good deal. Let's talk really quickly about nice crucial piece for the Rockets. Capella. Go ahead and talk about him, Rob.
Yeah, but if you watch the Houston Rockets, I mean, Clint Capella is probably one of the more underrated players in the league. I mean, this guy's having 17 points, about 10 rebounds, shooting close to 50% from the field. He's getting it done on the defensive end as well. I mean, he has been a phenomenal piece for the Houston Rockets. And he's kind of been that glue guy, if you will. You know, Draymond Green is considered that guy for Golden State. But I would even say that quietly, Clint Capella is having 10 times the better season than Draymond Green is having this year. And, but you don't hear his name, but obviously everyone in Houston knows him. But he's been that phenomenal piece, and you need those kind of guys on your team to be successful. He's got the wingspan. He blocks shots. He's tough in the paint. And obviously he is a big glue to that team when you have guys like James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson that can really shoot the basketball. But he's that do-everything guy for him in the paint that does all the dirty work for him. And, I mean, he has really improved his entire career every season.
Nice.
Yeah, you know who he is. He's that floor runner, and I take it back. He's not as tall. But you remember Tyson Chandler in New Orleans with Chris Paul, where they used to run that half
and
roll, and Tyson Chandler would do all the dirty work and rebound, and Chris Paul would always be sure he's feeding with those alley-oops and those easy buckets underneath. That's what that situation reminds me of, where Chris Paul is able to help. Now, don't get me wrong, Capella has the ability. But he's playing with Harden and Paul. But Paul has that ability to get that out of his big man. If his big man is willing to work and run and do the dirty things, he will reward him. And you see that happening in Houston. So, I mean, not to belabor the point, because Rob is absolutely right for all the things he just said. I just kind of want to throw that in there, that it's been interesting to me to watch that, where he's kind of found his new Tyson Chandler, so to speak, in that offense, where he wants to run that high pick and roll and whatnot. But Capella is making himself a lot of money. I don't know when his contract is up, but they keep playing like that. I mean, you like it if you're Daryl Morey, but then you don't like it because you already got to pay Paul and Harden, and now you're like, shoot, I got to pay this dude too, or somebody's going to take him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the good thing is, it's always easy to keep your own free agents in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always offer that extra year of guaranteed money.
Yep, that's true.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, before we get out of this, let's do some fantasy shout-out to Rob and keep this party going here.
Mm-hmm. All right, fantasy shout-outs of the week. Let's see here. I think Andre, 7-1 victory. Also, Ronald, Saints Pelicans, 23 out of New Orleans, also with a 7-1 victory. And Pastor Rock, Chester from New Orleans, 7-1 victory over Madhouse on Madison. Saints Pelicans, 23, moved into the first place, and obviously we're in the playoff round as we speak.
Nice.
Man, don't get me started. It's a virtual tie. Get it off of score points. I want head to head. I'm going to say it because I wasn't pleased with Yahoo when I woke up the next morning. I'm like, Holly, what? Huh? First place for 15 weeks. I lose on that tiebreaker? Come on, man. Don't do your point like that. But it's all good. We all in the playoffs. I still got a bye. So it is what it is. But nobody likes to lose first place on the last week like that.
I'm with you. That was kind of a little janky there, Yahoo. But like you said, you got your bye at the end of the day, which is all that matters, and you still get a chance to play again. I know. I was going to talk too much junk, man. I was not talking too much junk because I was like, man, I'm at this place. Face of JQ, and then, man, I'm finally hitting a little injury bug, man, because Klay Thompson is out maybe after 2 weeks, man. So I'm going to be, man. I'm going to call him Klay. I'm having some challenges with that one, man. I've been able to get
you're talking about the injury bug, man. My team has got hit with DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Kevin Love, Evan Fournier.
Yeah,
I'm talking
to
Rambler
to put together a team.
Like I said, that's why I'm like, you know, I've been able to kind of like, you know, fly on the radar, kind of like make some little small moves, and everything's been pretty solid, man. So I've been pretty pleased with myself as far as how I drafted. So I'm not talking any junk, man, because you try to hold on to players and they can get back. And then you're like, man, if I get rid of this player, I need this player. So it's been tough, man. So, But I gotta redeem it, man, after all the years of playing basketball. It's all good. All right, gentlemen.
Well, I'm going to keep fighting. Hopefully something will break through.
You're good. We got about 20 minutes here. We got about 20 minutes here, and we still want to talk about the NBA, we got to talk about the NFL, and then we're going to talk about some NCAA too here. But right out the gate here, let's talk about your boy, Rob. Drew Brees, he resigned with the Saints. I know I gave you a hard time. We knew he was going to resign.
Right.
Now, the question is, he took a little less money. Now, how was that as far as with Saints? Because I do kind of feel like that was like a, you know, I'm trying to show you some love to the city of New Orleans, and that's kind of when I end my career. That's kind of how it felt like to me. He's trying to win, but, you know, still, a two-year deal, you know, he could have probably gotten a little bit more because, again, I know that there's some rumors about him possibly going to Minnesota, and that was more of an interesting thing too. But what's your thoughts on that, Rob? And then bottom line, I mean, was this because they let the Saints sign some more players or what from that perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was never a rumor of him going to Minnesota. Minnesota just put it in a phone call to see.
That's all I'm saying. Come on, man. Come on.
He was never leaving New Orleans, obviously.
We know that.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think Minnesota was prepared to offer him a boatload worth of money, a lot more than what the Saints gave him. And I think Drew Brees went to the Saints and says, hey, you know, I know I'm going to make some money, but, you know, I don't want to – break the bank to where it's going to hurt us as an organization to try to win a championship. And obviously,
yep.
Drew Brees is 39 years old. And, I mean, how many more opportunities is he going to have? I mean, he finally had a respectable defense, finally had a good running game, which he probably didn't have most of his whole career. So, I mean, I think right now he's looking at a window of opportunity to hopefully make another Super Bowl run before he retires. And I think, you know, they reached an agreement. Obviously, like I said, Minnesota would offer him a boatload of money. We saw what they gave Kirk Cousins.
That's what I'm talking about,
Like $87 million guaranteed?
All of
it. I mean, come on.
Free cash.
So, yeah, I mean, there was an opportunity.
Free cash, homie.
There was an opportunity either for him to go to another organization and get more money or push the Saints to give him a lot more money. But like I said, he didn't want to break the bank and hurt him from improving the rest of the roster.
Yep.
Yeah, it's smart. It's very smart. He's made his money. He's going to make his money. He makes an endorsement. He's going to make it post-football. He's got a short window. So it makes sense to take some, you know, take 80% of what you can make and use those 20% spread around the roster. And if you're being honest with yourself, he's not leaving. No, he's, like you say, he's 39. Do you want to go somewhere else and learn a whole other offense? He and Sean Payton, you know, are magic together on offense. You know, it hasn't been really for me, them two holding the team back offensively. It's just they didn't have before. Like you said, they had a hard time finding a running game, a right running back in the defense. But, you know, where they are now and what they showed this past year, you know, he's looking at that like, we can build off this. If I can put some money back so they can sign this guy, re-sign this guy, you know, let's take another shot at it. And, I'm not mad at him. You know, they're going to build a statue for that dude in front of the stadium, you know, in a couple of years. So you just go ahead and cement that legacy, get yourself another run or two at it, and, you know, put all your chips on the table and see what happens.
Yeah, anybody that thought he was going to leave Sean Payton, it's, I mean, they are – they are definitely joining at the hip.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, as much as I, you know, hate the Saints, I actually do appreciate Drew Brees. I think he's a good dude, man. So, you know, I'm a fan of him in that perspective, being like a good guy and everything like that too. But all good. Hey, a couple things happening as far as the league. You know, there's been a lot of movement as far as quarterbacks and everything like that too. I know we can talk about that, gentlemen, if you want to. Just real briefly, obviously. A lot of movement as far as, you know, Teddy Bridgewater going to the Jets. Obviously, you had Sam Bradford. I don't know how that dude is still alive, signing with the freaking Cardinals for 1 year. Crazy. And then the moves, the shuffling. Obviously, we talked about Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota. And then, you know, obviously some moves with Case Keenum going to the Broncos, which, again, I know they thought they were kind of in play for, you know, Kirk Cousins. And then, you know, right now, then you got Tyrod Taylor going to the freaking Browns. The Browns, I mean, making moves, making trades, and this may affect their draft position and everything that happened. I know we'll talk about that too later on in the cut, Rob, but it's interesting to see what's happening right now, a lot of movement. The Browns making trades, Jarvis Landry. I mean, it's been an interesting free agency frenzy, and I know we can't talk about every single thing too, but I don't know if a couple things are going to highlight, Rob, as far as what's happening, as far as what's going down here.
Yeah, when you look at the Cleveland Browns, they still have four of the top 35 picks in this draft. So, I mean, they still have an opportunity to make some real headway. And obviously they signed Carlos Hyde as a running back as well. They're built into pieces. but they still don't have the main piece. And that's obviously the quarterback position. So, we'll look to rectify that here. But, you know, you get a running back. You should be loaded at wide receiver. You got a tight end who's very talented going into his second year. Obviously, you're going to have to replace Joe Thomas, a left tackle as well. But you got the pass rusher that you got in the draft last year. So they have an opportunity here to finally start making some noise. It is Cleveland, so I mean we don't want to jump the gun here and say they have turned the corner. It still is Cleveland. But, you know, they got four of the top 35 picks in the draft. And right now I got them taking Josh Allen at the number one spot, QB from Wyoming. I got them taking Bradley Chubb, another pass rusher, who arguably could be the best player in this draft at number four, defensive end from NC State. And then you look in the second round, they got a very talented offensive tackle from UCLA, number 33 overall, Colton Miller. and didn't get another edge rusher in Harold Landry from Boston College at 35.
Yeah, gotcha. Cleveland's been ridiculous.
That's good, Rob. Very good. That's good, Rob. They got to get another, they get another weapon, too, but I like what you're, where you're going as far as that, too, man, especially with for them to replace Joe Thomas, too. Go ahead, Jake. You had me step on your too. Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say, the only thing I quibble up with is, you know, I'm a homer and I admit to it, but if you got the 1-4 picks, why sign Carlos Hyde for $5 million when you can just draft Saquon Barkley? Like, I didn't get that piece. I don't know if they're just trying to appease because Cleveland's a huge Ohio State bastion, so I don't know if that's a piece of it, but to me, he's Isaiah Crowell, let go to the Jets. I don't know why you do that if you can take Barkley, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Now, I want to come back to Cousins and Bradford for a second. I think Keenan was willing to go anywhere that, you know, where the carousel kind of stopped. They left it open for him to make a little bit of money. I think he just knew this is his time now to strike while the iron is hot. But we talked about this a week or two ago, and I think what it was that Cousins saw that Denver has slipped, and they slipped and got a little older defensively, and they're not as good defensively. And then you lose Tlaib as well. And you got Von Miller, and then you got Von Miller. Like, you're getting to the point where, I mean, I like Harris, and I like my buddy shoot, cornerback from Ohio State they have as well, Roby. But I think if I'm Cousins, I look at them and say, yeah, Minnesota, for what we talked about last week in terms of what they have available, to me, is still a better choice. Real quiet, like the Jets have made some really good moves, too, on defense. And the Kansas City getting Sammy Watkins, we talked about it pre-show. But if that dude stays healthy with the weapons they have already on that team, I mean, goodness gracious, look out. And the Bears as well. You know, you call them, you know, trying to be the Rams. I say easy. We can't compare them to the greatest show on turf. But, Taylor Gripper and Allen Robinson, that's a nice look. So I like what they kind of did under weather. And Arizona, for the love of God. I don't understand hunting the Honey Badger because he can make that money somewhere else. So asking him to restructure when he's going to make that money, to me, is crazy. And then, come on, not Sam Bradford. I mean, for real, Sam Bradford? Like, for $20 million?
Did the dude only play one game last year?
You can get AJ for 12. Like, I don't know. And
he was great in that one game, but damn.
He was fantastic. $20 million? But one last thing. I was surprised. I mean, I saw Jordy take lose a step a little bit with the cutting, but then you kind of replace him with Jimmy Graham, and they also got Muhammad Wilkerson as well. So Green Bay making some moves as well on the low.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, I'll let you finish with that, too, Rob. I was going to say, too, just about the Bears, they got, like, a lot of speed on that team now. That's all I'm saying. I mean, getting turbo. now, granted, you got to catch him because you gotta hit him. Who's that running back? Was it Tarek something? I'm losing the name of the guy.
Tarek Cohen.
Fast running back, too. Yeah. So
Tarek Cohen.
I'm just saying, and totally opposite from what you're thinking about the Bears, right? They're playing Soldier Field in the cold and stuff like that and the Urlachers and whatnot, and that defense has been the staple. But they definitely got a lot of speed. I'm not saying that they're the Rams of that Rams, but I'm just saying they got a lot of speed now, so it's going to be interesting. So there you go.
I do.
Go ahead, Rob.
And obviously their defense was really good last season, too. I mean, they just couldn't score enough points. To win enough football games. I mean, but their defense kept them in a lot of games. I mean, they were really competitive. Their secondary was forcing a lot of turnovers last year. So, I mean, this is a team, you get the quarterbacks going into the second year. You know, we'll see how much he grows. Speaking of Mitch Trubisky, we'll see how much he grows going into the second year. And obviously he's got some new toys to play with as well. So we'll see how much better they get offensively going into this year.
I just hope that JT's not crying, too.
Because under the radar, the Bengals getting Glenn from Buffalo, he's still got 3 years and $30 million left on his contract. The flip positions with him versus taking an unknown. When he's healthy, he's a really solid left tackle, and they needed that. So I wasn't really pissed at that, so to speak. And then, like I said, if we get Jackson, according to Ross mock draft, I will have that jersey, the first week I can get it. For me, honestly, I talked about Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and his arm and that speed they already have. You know, you talk about a Tyreek Hill, you talk about a Kareem Hunt, you talk about a Travis Kelce. I mean, they've got the makings on offense to be ridiculous. I don't know if that defense is going to hold up because I think they've taken some setbacks, with not having Peters. So, he's a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Ali and Derek Johnson. So they've taken a step back on defense, but, man, if Sammy Watkins stays healthy, people forget how good he was before he was hurt. If that dude comes back healthy, look out. That Kansas City offense is going to be ridiculous.
We're saying if, though. We keep saying if, too. And I'm just happy you're not crying about
that's a big if, because Sammy Watkins hadn't been healthy his whole NFL career. He's shown flashes. But, I mean, that's a big if. I don't think the Rams are sweating that loss too much.
Now, I'm not crying about AJ because he was never coming back to Cincinnati because Cincinnati never gave him a fair shot at actually unseating Andy Dalton. So, him going to Buffalo, we talked about Nathan's sixth interception with Peterman. I mean, you know, unless they move up in the draft to go get a quarterback, he's got a shot in Buffalo to win that job. So, for him, when we all look around like, oh, where's AJ going to go, to stop in Buffalo is – you know, it's not the worst thing for him in terms of the ability to try to win the starting job. Because I think he can beat Peterman out. Now, if they take a quarterback in the first round and use that draft capital they've gotten to move up, then it's a little harder. Maybe they say AJ is a bridge quarterback and they bring the young guy along slowly. Either way, I think he gets a chance that he's been looking for to prove what he can do. So now he's got to go out there and do it.
So, Rob, was it a kind of an easy way, short-term way out with Case Keenum? Was that a smart move for the Broncos? Or what do you think that plan is for them, Rob?
Well, I don't have any problems with it. You still don't know if the guy Lynch is your answer at the quarterback position. I mean, you do have an opportunity to get a quarterback at number five, but I think what's going to take place here, they're going to roll with Keenum and see if he could be successful.
No
and
pressure.
And they may wait another year or two to look at getting a franchise quarterback. So I don't expect them to draft a quarterback at number five. I mean, right now I haven't taken Quentin Nelson. Well, typically, you wouldn't draft a guard that high, number five, but Nelson is a road grader. He's nasty and arguably could be the best offensive lineman in this draft. And so I have them taking Quentin Nelson at the number five position now and rolling with Case Keenum.
I agree. I mean,
Trevor Siemian to Minnesota, too.
Yeah, and you guys put looks like you guys got Tom Savage as a backup too, Rob. So that's a little interesting for you. So, all right, interesting.
That's
kind of keeping. I know. I'm just giving you an idea of what's happening.
We sure hope he's not playing.
Exactly. If I could just touch on Keenum real fast, I think he's been on the shelf too. You know, even if it's only a couple years, you know, but to get the money and to get a chance, you know, to have the ear of John Elway and pick his brain and maybe do some things if he can get a rebound year from Bebe and from Emmanuel Sanders. Like, you know, it's not a bad landing spot for him. But, man, what a referendum on Paxton Lynch. This is a dude you moved up into the first round to go get. And you're not even thinking about putting him even in the conversation. That is a bad miss for Elway.
Yeah.
I think
the thing the team's got to realize at the quarterback position, you know, if you miss, you got to keep trying until you hit. And I think that's what you have to
Cleveland.
Do, you know, at the quarterback position. And, Cleveland has struck out about 100 times, literally. they're still looking. But you have to keep going after that position until you figure it out. And, you know, there are a lot of people wondering why Minnesota will go from Case Keenum, a guy that took him to the NFC Championship game, and let him go and go after a guy like Kirk Cousins. I mean, Case Keenum, did a phenomenal job. But you look at it from a physicality standpoint, a talent standpoint, an arm talent standpoint, Kirk Cousins is just a better overall talent. It's yet to be seen whether or not Minnesota's going to go as far as they did last year. But Cousins can make all the throws. And when you look at Keenan, some of his passes, he threw a lot of balls up there for his guys just to go up and get. He just has some pretty good receivers. But Cousins has the arm talent, definitely has the a lot more athleticism, and and that's what Minnesota was looking for. So they obviously taking the chance, but they're banking on Cousins' talents being better than Keenum's.
That's a dangerous team now. Vikings they're a very dangerous team now with the addition of Cousins. So that's your boy too, like we said, JQ. Your Zimmer's going to get the most out of man. Very dangerous team now. We'll say that. So we'll keep it going here.
Yeah, I think the defense started to regress at the end of the year, though. You look at Trey Waynes, He was not, you know, playing that well. Yeah, Terrence Newman's getting a little old. And then you have to look at their defensive line, too, here. And so you have to wonder at the end of the year if some teams, you know, Carolina put up 31 points on them. The Saints almost put up 31. You know, obviously, the Eagles just opened up a can on them.
Woodshed.
And, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, was that a fluke or is that just, you know, we have to see if that just kind of, their defense kind of falling apart there at the end of the year.
I would just draft all defense and offensive line if I was them. They don't need anything for skill positions, really.
Yeah, they definitely need offensive linemen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Or two.
Mm-hmm. 4 minutes. 4 minutes left.
And they definitely
need
some help at the corner position.
Yep.
Really quickly, speaking of corners, will Richard Sherman regret negotiating on his contract? That's an interesting question, Rob. What do you think about that?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, you want to have some good legal advice when you're making these moves. And I think, you know, he was quick just to sign with a team to get back at the Seahawks. I mean, you want to be smart about these decisions. You don't want to make a quick decision. I mean, obviously his deal was a 3-year contract worth $39.15 million. But, you know, a lot of people say it's really only worth $27.15 and the guarantees are really low on his contract as well. I think the guarantee portion is only $7 million. So I think he was quick to make a deal, and he probably – could have got something better. I mean, I don't think he's an all-pro corner anymore, personally. But he may be able to still come out and help a team. But I definitely don't think he's the same all-pro corner, but he probably still could have got a better deal than that.
Sure.
Well, just quickly, I just think he was in a tough situation because he might have been able to, but I'm not sure if he would be because he's not going to pass his physical. You know, he's coming off an Achilles. I think almost any team that was smart that was a contender was going to make it and send the base like San Francisco did. But I think you're right. I think he got caught in the motion of, I'll go back to California and I get to play Seattle twice a year. So when, where do I sign? But, yeah, he battled himself, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
That's good, JQ. That is exactly accurate, JQ. Man, good call, bro.
That's
crazy. Oh, I love it, man. All right, we got about 2 minutes and 40-something seconds here. I know we want to definitely talk about the mock draft and preview into the NCAA tournament. So, Rob, we're a little early here. If you want to go ahead and kind of jump into that, the OT, because I know we're going to definitely keep talking about that and Tom Brady on it too. So set it up, Rob, and we'll keep it going here.
Yeah, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in on tonight. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the sports world here with NFL free agency draft coming up, NCAA March Madness underway starting last night. And obviously we're getting close to the stretch run here in the NBA and in the playoffs. So we got a lot to talk about, people. Definitely stay in tune with us. And we're getting ready to go to our OT portion. We can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link tomorrow. You definitely don't want to miss the mock draft coverage, the NFL. And definitely we want to hear from you as far as your NCAA tournament brackets. We'll talk about ours here in the OT portion, so you definitely don't want to miss that portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow. Next week, we'll be back on the air on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, you definitely don't want to miss it. We get you ready for the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. We'll get you updated on the NFL free agency and more mock draft coverage. And obviously, we'll keep you abreast of what's happening in NFL. And, hey, it's college football. It's spring practice time, too, so we'll even get you some sneak peeks into that as well. Definitely join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, look at Rob's mock draft. If you don't take Lamar Jackson, I'm going to know something if he's sitting right there. Appreciate everybody for listening and for tuning in to the show. Please give us your comments, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
That's what it's all about. I love it, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing that happen, too. So, like I said, hopefully – we'll listen to that in your Cincinnati. Oh, that was a little faux pas.
Oh,
your Cincinnati folks listen to that too for sure, man. So, and you know, speaking of little heads up, man. Not only am I going to be like linking up with JQ soon, also Georgia State here is going to be linking up with Cincinnati, man. Now they're probably going to get waxed, but it is interesting to hear that see what's happening with that too, man. So fun time.
Yeah, I giggle when
as
I saw
well.
That. Like, come on.
No,
come on, man.
Trying,
you gonna make
man.
Me play an
he's
Atlanta
trying.
Team? Really?
He's trying.
I was so
he's
mad.
Trying, but you know what's messed up?
So they got
a coach with Georgia Tech said. Not Georgia Tech, Georgia State.
Georgia State, yeah.
Yeah, he said they put Cincinnati up at the high. They put us up at the comfort end. They eating at Ruth Chris and we eating at Denny's. But when we come to game time, we're going to be ready to play.
Hey, listen,
he's
I like
trying.
It. You got to have that confidence. I ain't mad. That's pretty good, though.
The fact that he's been in the tournament more times than Georgia Tech and Georgia, which is crazy, man. So that's just unbelievable. So that's bad. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's keep this going here. Guys, so let's do some NFL mock draft coverage, and we'll spend the rest of the time talking about the NCAA tournament and Final Four predictions here. So, Rob, anything special you want to talk about as far as with your mock 70 draft over here, Rob?
Yep. Obviously, the latest update after some free agent moves. And I just can't see Barkley going to Cleveland now after signing Carlos Hyde. And just personally, I mean, not that I think Carlos Hyde is going to be a better running back than Saquon Barkley, but I think Cleveland may be thinking, hey, let's fill some other positions. And, you know, there's still some teams that are a little leery about taking running backs that high in a draft because of, you know, how long they last in the league. And, you know, the average running back probably only lasts about 5-6 years. And so Cleveland could be having that mindset and deciding to go a different route. We'll have to wait and see. Right now, Josh Allen obviously has got the biggest arm talent out of all these quarterbacks coming in, and I moved him up to the top of the draft. I think that's the guy Cleveland is eyeing right now, the quarterback from Wyoming, and I also have them taking Bradley Chubb, defensive end, NC State at number 4. If they come out of the draft with a quarterback and a Chubb, I mean, wow. Saquon Barkley, I'm going to the Giants. And I got a Jets moving up to number 3 to take Sam Darnold. And also, I got Miami trading up to number 6 to take Josh Rosen as well. So that's just I normally don't do a lot of trades in my mocks, but I threw in a few wrinkles. Indianapolis wound up moving down to number 11 and picking up 2 second-round picks in his latest mocks because they need a lot of players. All over their roster. A couple other highlights. Baker Mayfield going number 12 to Buffalo. Obviously, you got A.J. McCarron. Still don't know if he's your guy as far as the long-term answer. And once again, we just talked about this a little while ago. You got to keep going after the quarterback until you get it. And so you got to stack your roster until you get it. Keep going after that quarterback. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama. That might be your Jordy Nelson replacement. And there's a chance that you might lose Randall Cobb as well. Let's see here. You know, Jay Keys would talk about the Lamar Jackson to Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah Wynn, big interior offensive lineman to the Rams. Taven Bryant, defensive tackle, Florida, Carolina. Got Atlanta taking Rashawn Evans, linebacker from Alabama. And got the Saints taking Will Hernandez, offensive guard from UTEP. Sony Michel, got him going to Jacksonville, number 25. A lot of people say, well, they got Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, going back to LSU, going back to his high school days, he has a tendency to miss about 3 or 4 games a year. And, you know, you're going to want to have that that depth at the running back position. You went ahead and you cut Chris Ivory, too. I know Jacksonville would strongly like to get a wide receiver in this draft, too, so wide receiver could be in play right there as well. We talked about Minnesota needing offensive linemen. You get James Daniels, center from Iowa, at number 30. New England needs defensive players big time. Sam Hubbard, defensive end, Ohio State. Philly just lost Patrick Robinson to the Saints. So they could replace him with Dante Jackson, cornerback from LSU. So that rounds out the first round. Just a few highlights in the second round. Mason Rudolph, quarterback, Oklahoma State, going to the Giants at 34. Darius Geis, the Indy, desperately needs running back. Have him going to Indianapolis. Indianapolis pick up a couple of extra second-round picks with trading down. Josh Sweat, pass rusher from Florida State. Have him going to Indy as well. Ronald Jones, running back from USC to Chicago. What are some other? Nick Chubb, running back from Georgia to New England. New England's got a lot of little scat back running backs, but they don't have a horse. And, you know, probably use a back like Nick Chubb. JQ might like this one. Mike Gesicki, tight end, Penn State to Cincinnati at 46.
Yes, sir.
DJ Chark, wide receiver, LSU to the Chargers. And Orlando Brown drops all the way to 50 in the second round to Dallas. And Detroit, Kerryon Johnson, running back from Auburn. Those are just a few highlights of the second round, which I haven't sent to you guys yet. Say what?
Rashad Evans.
You got to say no, second round. That you said Rashad Evans. That he said, Rob.
Oh, the first round.
Yeah, the first round. Yep.
No, but that's who the Falcons take in the second round. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, in the second round, I have taken Billy Price.
Okay, Billy Price. Okay, that's not bad. Now again, we just signed Brandon Fusco from San Francisco to play guard. That just actually just popped through. So that's definitely going to change the dynamic of our draft because we may be either targeting, like we talked about, that was crazy, targeting, you know, defensive tackle or corner. We may not get the linebacker, Rob, in that first round, too. So, but I know this kind of has a different feel for us, too, man. So, again, I just like the fact that we did something. We got the guard position kind of locked down. We're probably going to get another guard for depth for the future, whoever's best available. I like it. All right. Anything else you want to talk about with that, JQ? From what Rob talked about?
I'm definitely good with that.
Okay. Good job, Rob. Again, man, you know, we give you a hard freaking time, man, but we always applaud you in the back end, man. So thank you,
okay,
man.
Okay, hold on.
I got one
I will put away. I don't know if Chicago goes running back when they've got Cohen and they've got Jordan Howard. I feel like that's a luxury pick for Chicago unless they are just not happy with Jordan Howard.
Yeah. And I still think Detroit's going to draft a running back, too, earlier. But, again,
that's a good pick, Kerryon Johnson. Woo! You can Kerryon Johnson in the second round for Detroit. That's a fantastic
pick. That's a fantastic pick, too. Like I said, it depends on, I don't know.
That's what a depth is. You're going to see a wave of running backs going in the second round. That's where the value is for the running backs in this draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we can see, like, it's, like, best available, whoever, you know, but – again, I like it from that perspective, but they definitely need a running back for sure because they haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher in a minute. So good draft. All right,
yeah, Sony Michel is going to be a play at number 20 for them. But, I mean, I have them. They also need some linebackers, and so I have them taking Leighton Van Der Esch in the first round at number 20, linebacker from Boise State, smart player, freakishly athletic. Can play interior on the outside as well. And then I have him taking Kerryon Johnson in the second round for Detroit.
Good deal. All right, we got the rest of the time to talk about some NCAA. Gentlemen, my favorite time of the year, March Madness is upon us. And I did my bracket as well, so I really don't know what to say. I mean, we've talked about some teams. There hasn't been a clear-cut dominant team yet. I mean, teams we thought were dominant have some little hiccups here. And so now here's the time to say this, and we'll talk about our Final Four too. So I'll let you lead us off, JQ, and kind of get it started, bro.
Man, I don't even know, to be honest, just because of what you just said. Like, there's no team that I look at like, you know what, everybody else is playing for second. I just don't have that feel. I can see a lot of 15-2s, 14-3s. I try to put those in there because they happen every year. But I don't have anybody that I'm just, you know, over the moon about. So, I mean, I just go into mine. Of course, I feel like Cincinnati is going to do well if they can get past Georgia State, of course, because I don't want to live here in Atlanta and lose to Georgia State in the first round. That's just going to be tough, if I'm being honest with you. But I did pick Ohio State to lose to South Dakota State. I think that that guy they got is one of those, you know, you can get in a tournament. If you get you somebody like Kemba Walker, you know, that goes on those runs, they can carry you and put you on the back, especially in March Madness. So I do have Ohio State being upset, but I had Cincinnati and Xavier moving through. So, for me, my Final Four, I took Virginia, I took North Carolina, I took Villanova, I took Michigan State with a Virginia-Villanova championship game and Villanova winning. But I don't feel I don't feel great about that, but that's what I'm rolling with.
Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, man. I think I've changed my bracket about five times. already since the brackets have come out. You know, the more you try to, sometimes I might be overanalyzing, but I think right now, so Virginia losing his best athlete right before the draft, even though he was the sixth man, he was the best athletic wing player, and DeAndre Harper. I mean, that's a big blow to Virginia, in my opinion. And I actually think now they could really lose in the Sweet 16 to Arizona. DeAndre Ayton, man, he has really turned it up, man. And you're talking about a guy who's going to be the first pick of the draft. He's almost unstoppable now, with putting up 30-some points, 18 rebounds in some recent games. And I got Arizona going all the way to Final Four. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. And I think they beat Virginia in the Sweet 16. They beat Tennessee. I think they lose to North Carolina in the Final Four. I think Michigan State beats Villanova, and Michigan State beats North Carolina. It's painful for me to say that. I think Michigan State wins it 71-67. Michigan State, we look at Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges. You got two guys. Jaren Jackson Jr. definitely will be a lottery pick, and Miles Bridges has the opportunity to. But I think Villanova's loaded too, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with that pick, man. Mikael Bridges, man, you talking about he's looked like he could have the potential to be a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George at the next level. Jalen Brunson, they have a lot of guys who are going to really score the basketball. So that team's another team that's really scary. And but Villanova and Michigan State, if they both make it to the Final Four, they will be playing in the semifinal round. So that would be an intriguing matchup when you look at, from an NBA prospect perspective. You know, North Carolina, interesting, they were once the team that put so many pros in the NBA. But if you notice, Roy Williams' recruiting philosophy over the last 4 to 5 years has totally changed. He stopped recruiting the one-and-done guys. He's getting four-star guys, and they're staying 3 and 4 years now. Unlike Kentucky and Duke still recruiting the one-star guys. I mean, I'm sorry, the five-star guys, the one-and-done guys. So it's interesting that Carolina is not putting out the elite pro prospects anymore because they're recruiting the four-star guys that stay 3 and 4 years now. But, you know,
wait a minute, man.
You've been in the championship game the last 2 years.
Wait a minute, man. I didn't know that Virginia lost their best wing player. So I'm going to
retract that.
Should
have gave you that info, man. It might help you out of your bracket now.
Yeah, you sure should, because I'm changing that one. So the other three I'm going to hang with.
Yeah.
But I'm going to revisit that one. I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually, that's funny. You know, JQ, we had the exact same thing, because I had Virginia, I had North Carolina, I had Villanova, and Michigan State. That was my Final Four. But now that you said about that, because Virginia, I was listening to Sports Talk, and Brandon Hayward was like, man, Virginia makes you just change your whole style of play, because, talk about the players been there for a long time. So now that definitely has a different effect, because I don't think they're going to be able to play defensively like they have, like you said. So, again, that's going to be a huge blow. I was going to joke around if they had Creighton and, St. Bonaventure and other teams, but, some intriguing matchups. And we said it, guys, there's not really a squad that you're like, yeah, back in the day you had the freaking running Rebs. You knew, like, this squad was going to destroy everyone.
Right.
There's not anyone else like that anymore. So it's just because of the era of basketball that we're in right now. A couple of interesting definitely matchups here, because I'm going to have to get Arizona in there is what it looks like too. But I show some love to your boys, to Ohio State, though, JQ, as well as, like I said, there's some – we're still going to watch the games, right? Because, again, I'm going to watch this. I don't have as many upsets as I normally would pick, because I'm like, man, I got nothing for you, man. But everything is too tight now. And then I always felt like if you had, like, senior guards or at least experienced guards, you can go pretty well. But Colin Sexton has been a player for Alabama. I think he gets, like, one or two wins just from sheer will. Again, I think as you get a deeper run, you have to have some experience, guard play to get you far, so that's kind of where I'm coming from that trip too. So unless you just have a dynamic player, like we talked about, like DeAndre Aiken, to do his thing too, man. And hopefully, Hawks, we're watching him and see that. And, obviously Michael Porter kind of struggled when I was kind of watching him, man. But, this is what it's all about, man. You got to go to the Blue Bloods, man.
I wanted to pull the trigger on Missouri. I wanted to pull the trigger on Missouri.
I know, but
he hasn't played. He hasn't played enough yet.
Yeah,
he hasn't played enough yet.
They struggled with Jordan. Oh, it was so bad. He was off. And
I think they have a chance to get by Florida State in the first round, but I just can't see him beating Xavier. But I tell you what, though, Gonzaga.
I want them to.
I think Gonzaga will beat Xavier in the Sweet 16.
I got
Gonzaga, man. They might be better than the team that made it to the championship game last year, too. I mean, they have a lot more versatility on this team, as quiet as it's kept. And, I mean, they're going to be a tough out. I think even for my Tar Heels, I mean, I still got the Tar Heels beating them in the Elite Eight. But Gonzaga is not going to be an easy out. I think Michigan is not going to be an easy out either. Houston could be a sleeper team. And watch New Mexico State. That's the team, to me, that has a chance to get to the Sweet 16 as a 12 seed.
Yeah.
And I have them beating Clemson and Auburn before losing to Kansas in the Sweet 16.
So do I.
Yeah, I have Auburn actually winning that one. That's crazy, too. We picked the same on that one, but I just had Kansas. Now, I don't really trust Kansas, though. That's kind of crazy from that perspective, too, because every time you keep thinking of doing something, man. But, they're all good.
I don't trust Arizona. And, I mean, I hear you. They are playing with a chip on their shoulder, but I feel like more often than not, Arizona – I can't say that because Villanova goes in that situation, too, where they come in and they have all the talent, and then they just – inexplicably lose, and you're like, how did you lose in the second round with that talent? Like, I just remember Lou Olsen's face.
Their starting
like,
five is as good as anybody's in the country.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I like the Cincinnati team, too. I mean, I have Cincinnati going to Elite Eight, and I think the Cincinnati-Arizona matchup is going to be a heck of a Elite Eight game for
what's
the reason
that,
of final. And
what's
I think Cincinnati, even though I'm picking Arizona, I think Cincinnati's got a real good chance to get to the Final Four.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're speaking into existence so I can dance. But it's hard for me to take them that far because they just disappoint me so often that, you know, I just can't. I would love to have my bracket be bad if it means Cincinnati moves forward because I didn't pick them. So I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right. Like I said, we're frantically changing the brackets as we speak, man, because, again, I don't trust myself as much anymore because I don't even know anymore. Cause
I wouldn't be surprised if mine get changed again before the games start tomorrow. But
oh my
right, I
yeah,
know I was going to take it with mine. I can't help it. I'm a tinker.
Yeah, it's all good. But like I said, we're in it. We're having fun with it. And, you know, I've only got one or two of these brackets now because I don't even know anymore. But all good.
Right.
Anything else we got to say before we wrap up the show, guys?
No, you know what? I just want to say, when you talked about it before with LeBron, just to bring it full circle, not playing with a great coach, you look at all these teams that we're picking to go through there, they all have an established great coach. And I think you were right about the senior point guard play. That's a fantastic point. But the coaching, and it seems like it comes into such greater importance here in the tournament time. I think that's, you know, for everybody out there, you got to pick some upsets. But for those guys you're going to take all the way through, You generally can't go wrong if you go with three or four of the best coaches because you feel like at least two of them are going to make it.
Yeah.
When you talk about the Tom Izzo's of the world, you still got to watch. Mm-hmm. Duke might be the most talented team in the country, but they've just been up and down this year. And so, I mean, you know, Coach K still, as much as I hate him, they're still a threat as well. Even though I have them losing to Michigan State, they could still be a threat in this tournament.
Yeah,
West Virginia is also another team with Bob Huggins, but I have Villanova knocking them out.
West Virginia.
I don't have them. I have them getting beat by Murray State, but that's my one crazy pick. You know, that's the one I pick because, you know, they're still kind of up now. But I don't know. Like I said, you could be 100% right, Rob, but you just really don't know who's going to get, like, hot at the last minute or, I mean, I know they've been struggling a little. You know, they have, like, little – West Virginia has their little moments where they can't score, man. So that's – you know, they're going against a pretty explosive Murray State team. So, I mean, but again, you never know. That's why this is one of the most challenging March Madness things to happen because we just don't have a crystal ball to see what's happening. So it's all good. It is all good. What else, Rob? What do you want to say before we wrap this up?
It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, team. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in. We're getting ready for exciting time in sports here. Here's madness in March. College basketball madness, this NFL free agent madness. There's a lot going on
in
the the sports world here in the month of March. We got it covered for you here talking sports with the 12th man. So you definitely want to stay in tune with us. We're going to be back on the air next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It'll be 5 p.m. for you all in Hawaii. Good night, people.
And don't forget about baseball, where they can't get the marquee free agents aren't really all the way signed either. So a whole lot of ridiculousness happening across the sports. We appreciate everybody downloading the podcast and listening to us talk here in overtime. Y'all have a good week. How's you next week?
Very excited to see Ronald Acuña for the Braves, man. He's been kind of doing his thing, man. So we got a little glimmer of hope, man, so for the future, man. So, again, I'm keeping an eye on that.
I'll keep you posted.
If you want to throw some baseball, too. But, yeah, that's been pretty exciting. But, again, gentlemen, we keep you posted. You gonna tune into that one as well, bro?
I'll be doing the games. I'll be doing the Strippers games. He'll be there.
That's
so
right.
I'll keep you posted
right.
on what he's doing.
Good job. Please do, man. Because, let me know what's happening. But, guys, hey, let's keep talking. Let's keep the lines of communication open for the madness tomorrow, because I know I'm going to get my hair cut, and then I'll get a chance to kind of relax, kind of pick up the wifey, and then we're going to kind of like just zero in and watch a lot of games, man. So, fun times.
How
did
Oklahoma
get
the turn?
Yeah, man, listen, especially over Oklahoma State, Dick Vitale's rant was spot on. Sorry, Dre, I'm with you, Rob.
No.
That's crazy. Trey Young.
Yeah, I mean, that team must have lost with 10 out of
that.
The last 12 games or something. How in the world are they in the tournament?
Trey Young.
I got to get bounced out after, they may get that first game, but I haven't bounced out getting beat by Duke, obviously, but, if they can get past that. But,
I don't think they're going to beat Rhode Island. Rhode Island, Rhode Island got some great guards, but, obviously they don't have any as good as Trey Young, but they got some great guards on that team.
Yeah, I picked Rhode Island.
2-8 in the last 10 games. Wow.
We derailed you a little bit, Dre. My bad, brother.
No, you're fine. No. It's all good. I'm still tinkering here, man, because I'm like, what? Wait, who's that? What's happening here? Purdue? See, Cal State Fullerton here or CSU? I don't know.
My Cal State Fullerton.
I'm just saying.
That time of the year when, Utah Southern would come out of nowhere and win a tournament game.
Right, hit 23 pointers. You're like, wow.
You watch the Sports Center too? That's what you're looking at, Rob. Because I just saw that little stat that popped up. Doing eight, they're like, yeah. We definitely gotta go big, man. I'm watching future picks now. So it's all good, gentlemen. Hey, all right, guys, we'll keep.
Old Kimball, remember that name? 45 points in the NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, man, that hurt my soul when he collapsed.
Yeah, no, that was Hank Gathers.
That's Hank Gathers. I'm sorry, that's right. That was Hank Gathers. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was with Loyola Marymount.
That was an awesome team. It was so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about college teams putting up 145 points a night almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fun to watch.
Excuse me. Who was like the running Rebs were excited to watch? The freaking Michigan Wolverines were watch, man. Those are like the classic squads back in the day. I remember Arizona
was
like
UNLV miles here. Ran Duke out of the gym, beat them by 30 in that national championship game. I loved every moment of that.
You guys remember? That's funny. You guys remember the 40 minutes of hell? Remember that?
Arkansas.
Yeah, 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah. Oh, man, Nolan Richardson, you don't want to play.
Nolan Richardson said, we're going to press you the whole game, 40 minutes of hell.
That was classic, man. You don't see that stuff anymore because nobody wants to play defense like that, man. But I remember, I was like, man, you're watching this. And the Temple back then, Temple used to be like the squad back in the day with
McKee.
John Chaney and everything.
McKee used to play that matchup zone. He slowed that game down on you.
Yeah, you're like,
mm-hmm.
What's the fridge,
oh, yeah.
You had no idea what's hitting you, man. And I go back to like freaking Marcus Camby whenever he was like with UMass, man. That was just a good squad, man, because that was my squad. Edgar and Korea and the guards and stuff like that, man. So that was me, man. So
you old.
Good squads, man. We've been watching basketball for a long time, man. That's why. It takes one to know one, JQ.
You're right. Absolutely.
Talking about absolutely.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right. Yep, you're right there with me. Yep, yep.
Oh, man. Michigan, Ramil Robinson and Glenn Rice. That was a good team, too.
Yeah, it was.
The only thing
Dick Cooper, I don't want to hear that one.
I don't want to hear Ramil Robinson because that's of the Hawks draft. That was one of the worst picks ever, man. We just thought he was going to be doing something. He didn't do jack, man. Who was that guy from the big fat?
Worst thing the Hawks
from,
ever did was get John contract all that money.
That's true.
The worst thing they did was drive Marvin Williams over Chris Paul. That's what they did.
Oh, my God. And I remember Ramil Robinson. I remember we were like, we're going to draft Ramil Robinson. I'm like, Ramil Robinson, all right. And we got Stacey Ogden. And that, he was like, never like the – he was all right, but he wasn't like freaking like
– Mr. Plastic. Yeah.
Stacey Ogden
couldn't throw it in the ocean, but he could play defense.
I'm like,
he can rebound, yeah.
Score at all. It was like, why are you getting this guy, man? This is like terrible, man. That's what I remember about Michigan and Ramil Robinson.
Baker Mayfield went 62 of 70 on his pro day throwing against air.
Camille Elie?
Yeah, that's not great. Say what?
The Raiders, Seahawks, and the Saints.
Yeah, I was just talking about
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get Josh. We'll be all here all day talking to each other, man. But anyway, let's wrap this up, man. But looking forward to tomorrow, man. We'll talk soon, okay, fellas? Good night, people.
All right.
Thank you, America,
good
for putting up with us. And we're just kind of like, we're kind of rambling. We're having a good time, too. That's what we do on Talking Sports to 12 Men. Till next Wednesday, we'll keep it going. Gentlemen, have a fantastic weekend. I'll be traveling, but I'll be back, and we'll keep it going, all right? We'll talk.
Yes, sir. Hey, call it, y'all. Good night.